The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney+.
How are you now? We're back again, as promised. You know, the Montreal Canadiens season is over, but the Laval Rocket, their season is absolutely not over. And we're going to continue with content, not only for the draft, but apparently also for the AHL playoffs, because the Laval Rocket defeat the Syracuse Crunch by a score of 4-3, and they have officially qualified for the AHL playoffs for the second year in a row. I'm joined for this special episode of Absent Minded by the fugitive Anton Razegard, who, as I understand, had to flee the Laval Rocket Arena recently because the French Foreign Legion was there looking for him. I don't know what happened there, man.
Yeah, so I was replaced by Jared tonight. He's much more. He doesn't cause the same kind of problems that I do wherever I go. So now I'm hiding in a downtown Montreal hostel. And if you hear, I have to say this beforehand, if you hear things in the background, it is because I'm in a hostel. And also, I just as we started recording, I heard that the ice machine in the back started making sounds. So yeah, we're going to do this because, you know, it's a happy occasion, especially, you know, Montreal knocked out, like we already knew that like a month and a half ago. Fifth best odds for the NHL playoff lottery, but we really needed some kind of, you know, happy occasion to celebrate. And Laval has given us that.
Yeah, you know, I caught mostly just the end of the game. I was trying to watch it simultaneously with the OHL and QMJHL playoffs. Apparently, I'm too old to watch more than two games at once. But I got to tell you, man, I was impressed, particularly by Caden Primeau and what I saw in that game. They got outshot, what, 45 to about 30? I didn't check the final shot tally. I got to be completely honest. And I don't really want to pull up the website right now so everybody can hear me tapping away at my keyboard. But Syracuse had over 40 shots, and Caden Primeau holds them to three goals. Like, do you agree with that assessment? You feel like that was kind of a pretty much a statement game from him? Like, look, I'm ready for the playoffs. I'm ready to show something here.
Yeah, it's especially strange because of the way it started, because Primeau had, you know, a less than stellar, you know, he made a less than stellar effort on the first Syracuse goal where they tied it up to 1-1. And you were kind of feeling like, oh, is this one of those nights where he's not really feeling it? Like last Friday against Cleveland, where he was a little bit shaky. He wasn't, you know, playing at his top. And Laval really would need Primeau to play at his best tonight because, you know, Syracuse is a, you know, a feisty team, and it was basically a must win. And then basically when Laval was dominating the game in the first period, basically for half the game, and then Syracuse took over more and more and more, and in the third period it was mostly Syracuse making an effort, and they got one goal in, and then Primeau was just a wall, and he was well deservedly awarded the first star award. Now it's terrific to see, because Caden Primeau is that kind of goalie that I wouldn't say he has the same style as Samuel Montembeau, but you can kind of see quite early if they're gonna, you know, have a night or not.
Yeah.
And with Primeau starting the way he did, it was kind of like, I think it was a statement for him personally as well to just see that, you know, you can shake off a bad start and then still come out and save almost 40 shots, which is great.
Yeah, it's an interesting parallel to draw with Montembeau, because they both have kind of that quality about them where it's like, if they let in a couple of stinkers early, you know, it's going to be a rough night. like every time. And I mean, I saw the replay of the first goal, and that was my first thought too. I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those nights for Primo. He's going to have a rough one, and like everything's just going to seem to go in on him no matter what happens. And he rallied, man. He really came back in that one and played a magnificent game. And he was really good for them in the playoffs last year. I think that can't be overstated. He put up what, like a 923, I think. And correct me if I'm wrong. Whatever he put up, his exact save percentage that he had the last time that a Habs goaltender had that exact save percentage in the playoffs was Carey Price when he won the Calder with the Hamilton Bulldogs. So
he had a 936 in the playoffs last year.
936. Okay, so I was underselling it.
Yeah, over 14 games, 2.17 goals against average.
So, I mean, going into the playoffs, he's going to be a for sure a key player for them. And the fact that they've gotten into the playoffs is actually huge for the organization. It must be mentioned. Like, this gives an opportunity. The players that they currently have that are in the CHL playoffs, depending on what league they're in, depending on their situation, they might get eliminated. Like, Philip Mishar, I just watched the London and Kitchener game, and London ran over Kitchener. Philip Mishar is probably going to be available pretty soon for the Laval Rocket if they're interested in having his services. So this is going to present a pretty unique opportunity for the Habs to get some of those young players up into the Laval Rocket lineup and get maybe some playoff experience in the AHL. It's a tough task for sure to ask anybody to jump out of junior and immediately go to pro hockey, and not just go to pro hockey, but play professional playoff games. It's definitely not easy, but it's I think an important chance for them to find out what some of these guys can do. I think
I was just going to say, like, even if they don't play a lot, just being around the team and, you know, maybe playing a game or two, it's still important for the future. We see guys who have made the jump this year, older guys, but still, you know, rookies. We see Alex Belzil, we see Rafael Harvey-Vinal, we see Jesse Ullinen, who all had that playoff experience in Laval last year. And this year they have shown that they can actually make an impact on an NHL level as well. And I think it helps a lot to have that kind of, you know, this mentality where you have to win, even if, you know, Montreal season wasn't up to par. It's still, you know, it helps, you know, just throwing in a mentality into your head where winning is the only alternative.
Yeah, and look, I think they'd love to maybe have guys like specifically Logan Mailloux come up and play. I think he needs that step up in competition almost more than anybody else that they've got in the system right now. He looks like he's in for a bit of a run in the OHL playoffs, so he's not going to be available. But anybody they can get, basically anybody that they can get, I would suggest bringing them up as black aces. Like you said, have them around the team, have them the opportunity to practice with professional players who are preparing for professional playoff games. That experience is invaluable. Just being around professional players, being around professional systems, being around professional practices, professional facilities. This is the kind of thing that they're going to have to get used to. And that, you know, introducing them gradually, especially for players who are not, you know, the next coming of Wayne Gretzky, they need to have those reps. They need to have those practices. And this is a fantastic opportunity to get that for them. So, I think everybody, every fan of the Montreal Canadiens should be excited that the Rocket have made that playoff. You saw what, over 10,000 fans in that building. That building was rocking.
Yeah.
That building was rocking. The city of Laval is on fire for this. They're loving it, and the players are loving it, and the organization and the broader Habs fan community, we should be loving this as well, because it's a great opportunity. And you know, hopefully they don't let it go to waste. If they can get through like a round or two at the very least and like extend this thing a little bit, they might get even more players that get to come up. I don't think they're going to get guys like Joshua Roy. I think he's going to be in for the long haul in the playoffs, but they're going to have other options.
Yeah, as you said before as well. I mean, since he is the second coming of Wayne Gretzky, he doesn't need that.
He is, Well, he is definitely the second coming of Wayne Gretzky. If he doesn't score at least 2,000 points, he's a bust.
No, but I'm just saying, like, he doesn't need that experience because he's already, you know, a superstar in the making. So what's a little AHL playoffs for the second coming of Gretzky, you know?
Well, he did get in what? He got one game last year. And he pulled off a really beautiful toe drag coming into the offensive zone and almost scored on it. Look, I almost wish, and I don't even want to say this, I almost wish Sherbrooke would get eliminated so we could see him up with the Rocket, because the way he's developed this year, I think he'd be a perfect fit right now. He can kill penalties. His defensive game has taken, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of where he was when he was drafted. And he still hasn't lost any of that shot, any of that, you know, innate playmaking ability that he has that made him a 100-plus point player in the QMJHL. So I think he'd be a great fit. I just don't think he's going to end up being available. But look, Mishar, probably available right away. Hypothetically, if they wanted to dip deeper into the barrel, Cédric Guendon is already available. They could potentially call him up. I think they might as well stock the cupboards as much as they are possibly allowed to, and then try to give some of these guys a shot where possible. Of course, they want to ice the optimal lineup. So they're not just going to stack a bunch of CHL imports basically onto the roster and try to win a series like that. But I think it's smart to have as many black aces as possible. Treat it like you would if it was an NHL team, and maximize as many roster spots as you're allowed to have. Have as many rookies as you possibly can come up out of the CHL and be there ready to play for you. And again, just weaponize your contract limit. Weaponize your player limit to the absolute maximum. Have all these guys there. Try them out in practice. And you know what? If you see something you like from somebody, then throw them in a game.
Yeah, exactly. Have some fun with it. And it's also like we said before, I mean, if you have three or four of those guys and one fits him better than the others, then he gets to play. Like if it's just one player who can come in and make an impact now, it doesn't matter if they don't, they still get valuable experience. But if someone can actually strengthen your team right now, we still see this team having a bit of injury problems, and they still have a bunch of guys who have come up from Trois-Rivières throughout the year and sticked, mostly because of injuries as well, like Riley McKay, and they have Nolan Jeremko was playing tonight, for example, and he was a U Sports player just a couple of months ago. But you know,
Eric, if you Zubé was down in Trois-Rivières at one point this year, wasn't he?
Yeah, for sure. And now he has what, 16 goals? He was one of the best players down the stretch. But like, if you can, I don't know the situation with, for example, a Jared Davidson, who is already 20, if he can get signed on like an AHL tryout deal or something because he was just drafted last year. I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know like how it is with the WHL playoffs either. Riley Kidney, I don't know either. Like obviously he has to sign, but I don't know like if his team is a juggernaut or not.
Kidney has an ELC, he could go up. He could play for the Rocket tomorrow, but Gatineau is pretty much a powerhouse. They lost one game against St. John.
He was traded to Gatineau as well, right?
Yeah, he was traded to Gatineau from Akadzi Bathurst. If he was still in Bathurst, then he'd be available right now for him. But I think if they were hoping for Riley Kidney, I think that would be incredibly fun on the same level as Joshua Roy. I think it would work very well for the Rocket, but I just don't think he's going to be available until like maybe the second round for Laval. It's going to be tough. I don't see Gatineau bowing out of the playoffs anytime soon. No. I think they'll make it through round two as well. And they're probably going to be in the final four there. So yeah, but look, they're going to have some options coming up. You mentioned Jared Davidson. I think he needs to sign an ATO because he doesn't have an ELC with the team. I'm not positive on that. This is where we kind of need Andrew Zadornowski to join the podcast so he can educate us a bit on the CBA and like what teams can and can't do, because I'm honestly not positive. But that would be an interesting option as well. And I think, again, Mishar is going to be available pretty soon.
Yep.
And we'll see. Like, again, if I was them, I would bring up everybody that I possibly can and find out what they can do, you know? And
yes, especially because they're the future of the team, right? So like, as much as you would like any of these guys who are, you know, coming out of nowhere to still make an impact and everything, like more competition is always healthy, first of all. And second of all, you've drafted these guys for a reason, right? And they've done well in juniors. So you kind of want to see what you can get out of them on a bigger stage. And there are so many of these players now who you've, you know, drafted late and who have come up to Laval and actually improved that much that they've actually gotten a chance to play in the NHL as well. Like Lucas Condado obviously wasn't even drafted, but he scored a goal in the NHL in his first shift, in his first game, incredibly. Joel Teasdale wasn't drafted either, but, you know, coming through Laval and the development system there, and we see what it has done with a guy like Justin Barron this year. We have seen Jaden Struble come in now as of late and show that he is, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And I can just imagine, can you imagine having both Arber Shekai and Jaden Struble a couple of years from now? That would be, you know, physical to say the least.
That would be a goddamn nightmare to yep. play against. Everyone, like, you're not going to have any fun.
Yeah, everyone complaining against, you know, the Habs being too small and too unphysical. That would be something to look forward to.
Yeah, he, who was it? I forget who it was, but he launched yeah. somebody.
Yeah.
He got beat in the corner. And yeah. Scott Matla has a GIF up on his Twitter account. If anybody hasn't seen it, go to at Scott Matla on Twitter. And yeah. you'll see it. It's down in his media list there. And Struble gets beat in the corner. And then he's kind of chasing this guy from behind and just launches him face yeah. first into the post. And it's shoulder to shoulder. So technically, like, by the letter of the law, there's nothing wrong with that hit, right? He does throw him into the post, which is not the nicest thing to do. But as a ref, if you're looking at that, you got nothing you can really call. Struble is a wildly strong individual. Most people will remember, and if you don't remember, he beat everybody by like a significant margin on the bench press at the NHL draft, and that's kind of what put him on the map. And you're seeing that now since he's come up.
Like, and he was a high school player at that time.
Yeah, a high school player at that time, and he yeah. smoked everybody on the bench press. He's probably, I'd say, physically strong enough, like in terms of body and physical capabilities. He could play in the NHL tomorrow if you wanted him to.
Yeah.
I think he's still got some work to do on different aspects of his game, but,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. But if the only thing he had to do was compete physically, immediately put him in the NHL tomorrow and have no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Go and whack that guy, Jaden. And he would do that. Maybe the puck is in the other direction, so it wouldn't be very smart, but he can do that. You know,
I want you to put your shoulder through this guy's chest in this specific situation. Yeah, he's going to get that done for you. Yep. It's the same conversation that I had with Hadi Kalakesh about Lane Hutson, right? Where if the only thing that he had to do was play transition right now, you could put him in the NHL tomorrow and no problem. If you could just hop on the ice and do transition and then hop off, you're good to go. Same thing with Struble, right? If it was just, all right, I need you to go out in this specific situation and put a hurt on this guy right here. I need you to blast him with your shoulder right in the center of his chest, hit him in the sternum and make him think twice about going to that area of the front of the net again. It would work, right? You can see it. I've ever since the Habs have very much put themselves out of the playoff picture, I've tried to start watching more Rocket games. And then when they started getting up some of those younger players, I tried to watch even more. And when Struble came up, I was very interested. So I watched his first game, and that was the first thing that stood out to me was, man, this is a man among boys. And now he's a man among men, and he's still a man among boys. It's absurd.
But it's one thing, as you said, like to be big when you're playing against high schoolers in Rhode Island, you know, where you grew up, or like playing against future whatevers in the NCAA even. But like coming up to the AHL and still, as you say, looking like a man among men, or like, you know, that he makes the other guys look like boys. That's impressive. And it's fun to see. And I was going to say as well about like what you say about having one special ability. It's kind of like going back to check out Cole Caulfield, like in the 2019 draft or the first season after that, when you kind of like, that shot is elite, you know, he could score in the NHL tomorrow. But the problem was that he didn't have the well-rounded game. So the Habs did the right thing and, you know, let him marinate for 2 years in the NCAA. And now we can see, you know, that he can bring so much more to the table. And that's basically like what you're looking for in these guys. You draft Lane Hutson for his transition ability, but then you're just hoping that he can, you know, tag on 1, 2, 3 things through, you know, a developmental system and a developmental coach and working with Adam Nicholas and all that. And the same Jaden Struble. You don't draft him because he's super like polished and super smart in every, you know, like in every decision he makes on the ice. You draft him because he's a physical monster, and then you hope that he can pick up other things. Logan Mailloux is another example. he has a blasting shot and he's, you know, skates like the wind and he's really big. And then he's not very smart in his decision making sometimes. And, you know, that happens.
Yeah, it's a balance, right? Especially when you're not picking in the top 10 or the top 5. You're looking for something specific. You're looking for traits, some,
right?
Yeah, you're looking for qualities that you think you can develop into an effective NHL player.
Yeah,
right.
The only way to develop these guys is to play them, right? So to get them, you know, to play at first developmental junior hockey, NCAA, whatever, and then play them in the AHL until they're ready. So, and the NHL as well, let them make mistakes. We see Montembeault, for example. He's 26, 27, still developing. He's a goalie, obviously, but you know, you see that development continues if you have a good developmental system, and the Habs actually feels like they have that in place now.
Ooh, and there's an interesting one too that I completely forgot to even mention.
Yep.
The Ottawa 67s beat the Peterborough Petes tonight.
Vincent Rohrer.
So, Vincent Rohrer, probably not going to be available for the Laval Rocket if they were interested in his services. But Peterborough happens to have a centerman by the name of Owen Beck.
Ooh, you're right.
Might end up being available for the Laval Rocket. We've already seen him play a game with the Montreal Canadiens this year. How would he fit into the Laval Rocket lineup right now?
That would be really interesting because, sorry, if I saw correctly tonight in Laval, they were playing Yaremko at one of the center positions, I think. McKay was out and Mishak went out and in warmups. So getting Owen Beck in to play at, you know, bottom six center role. I mean, he's defensively responsible. He's a smart player. You know, even if everyone comes back and everyone is healthy, it's extra competition. And I think Owen Beck would compete well. Peterborough he hasn't lit up Peterborough, but Peterborough hasn't been the greatest team either. So it's been a difficult situation both for him and for Philip Mishar this year. I think he would. He's another guy like Emil Heinemann that I think would fit better in the pro than he does. Well, obviously Heinemann was playing pro in Sweden, but you know, fits better in the AHL, NHL than they do. Like maybe like Owen Beck was expected to carry Peterborough Pete's team. I think he's better in, you know, being one of the guys rather than the guy.
Yeah, look, Peterborough didn't acquire him to be the scoring guy, to like light up the scoreboard, because that's not what he does, right? He plays a very effective game. I think he's super useful in the playoffs, particularly because of how responsible he is defensively. And as you mentioned, smart player, right? Yep. You very rarely, if you watch an Owen Beck game, you very rarely find him in the wrong position on the ice. I don't think, I think I've watched 20, 25 of his games so far this season. I don't think one single time I've ever looked at him on the ice and been like, yeah, don't be there. You know, that's the kind of thing where you can take, if a player has that quality where they're that smart and they're that good in a system, that you can just plug them in anywhere you want and you know that they're going to do exactly what it is that you ask of them. That's the kind of guy for me that I feel like the Laval Rocket might be interested in having, because they know it's going to be easy to plug him in there.
Yeah.
Right. Whether they want to use him at center, they can use him at the wing too. I've seen him skate on the wing. He's not bad there at all. He's quite good. It's almost like having an Arturi Lehkonen. There we go with some more Arturi Lehkonen comparisons that are unnecessary. But look, I think if Ottawa ends up with a sweep in that series, which based on this first game, I didn't watch that one. I was on London and Sherbrooke tonight personally, but it was 4-2 for Ottawa, and Ottawa is a very strong team in the OHL. It's going to be tough for Peterborough to get past them because they've got a lot of weapons. If they end up with a sweep, you know, I feel like that's a move Laval has to make. They got to bring him up. Again, have him around the team. And Scott Matla actually said in the EOTP chat, he said that's the one guy that he could see the Laval Rocket putting into the lineup right away over any of the other prospects. Yeah, Owen Beck.
Now I was checking out the lineup tonight as well. And, you know, Joel Teasdale called up to the NHL playing two games. He played on the fourth line tonight, maybe because he was tired. But also, it tells you something about the competition level now. They have Harvey Pinard, obviously. They have Anthony Richard, who scored his 30th goal tonight. Mitchell Stevens has done well. He obviously was injured at the very end there. Let's hope it's not something anything serious. But you have Jesse Ilonen, who has played in the NHL for most of the year. You have Emil Heinemann, who scored 7-7. Xavier Simoneau has been great. Condada has done surprisingly well. Pierrick Dubé has been really, really solid. Gabriel Bourque is playing fourth line minutes now as well. And then Yaremko was in the middle there at the fourth line. So if you have someone to insert there as an Owen Beck who can play, you know, bottom 6 minutes, would be perfect.
Yeah. And again, he might be available sooner than later. These games tend to go pretty quick in the OHL. So look, he could be coming up real quick. Michard could be coming up real quick. This could get interesting in terms of how many young players they might have available for them. And you mentioned Emil Heinemann too. I think he's very on the map with Habs fans at this point. You talked to him recently, right? I know you had an episode up already, but for anybody who hasn't listened to it yet, what were your impressions of him?
He's a calm, smart, collected guy who he spoke very eloquently about why he felt that his game was better suited for North American hockey than it was for in the SHL. Because as we've checked him out during the, well, a little more than a year than since he was acquired, and he hasn't exactly lit up the SHL in Leksand, but he was playing a difficult role there where he didn't really get those top 6 minutes that he, a guy with his shots, kind of deserve. And the AHL style with more physicality, more intensity, he feels like that suits him better than the more open eyes that you have in the SHL. And obviously, like him and I was talking to Mathias Norlinder at the same time. They've become best friends now very quickly. Like they got to know each other last year when Emil was over. After his season ended, even if he was injured, he was around the team with Laval when Matthias was playing as well. And it was a little bit sad there for Jan Mišek for a while because him and Matthias Norlinder were best friends during the season. And then Emil Heinemann came in and all of a sudden they were all, you know, just speaking Swedish. But then Jakub Dobish came in and even the things out with two Czechs and two Swedes at the end. But yeah, Emil Heinemann, impressive guy. He's a big dude. I felt small standing next to him as well.
Yeah, and man, he's got a big shot too, doesn't he? Like you already mentioned, 7-7. He's done pretty well since he came up. He could end up being a key player for them going into the playoffs, right? You need that guy. Like everybody will remember. I keep drawing comparisons to Josh Anderson because every time I watch Emil Heinemann, I see a little bit of Josh Anderson in him. It seems like he has that ability to just turn the jets on when he wants to, get into the offensive zone. And once he finds his spot, he can absolutely rip it. So it's a quality that you absolutely need out of somebody in your playoffs, and he has that. So it could end up being a huge piece for the Laval Rocket if he can keep that same momentum going, keep those shots going, you know, keep his legs going. Like you said, big dude. That's the kind of player that can really grind you down in a long playoff series, in a 7-game series, where you start getting frustrated.
Yeah, and especially like we saw what the Habs gave up, you know, both financially and in terms of, you know, the trade to Columbus to get Josh Anderson, because those guys who are 6'2", about 200 pounds and can actually provide scoring ability, they're difficult to find. So if you can grind out something similar of a power forward in Emil Heinemann with the scoring touch, someone who can, whether it's, well, it's probably going to be in Laval next season, but if you can develop that down the line with someone who can come in and play middle 6 minutes in the NHL and provide you with 15 to 20 goals a season, that would be great, because then you don't have to trade for it or draft it. We saw the Habs trade for Denis Gurianov for the very, very same reason. Gurianov fell out of favor with Dallas, but he has the measurables and he has the history of scoring. It probably hasn't worked out as well as the Canadians would have wanted to, but at the same time, they got him for Yevgeny Dadonov, who they weren't going to re-sign anyway. So it would be fun during, well, it will be fun during development camp and during the beginning of next season, preseason and everything, to see Emil Heinemann playing against NHL players and just see if he can still have enough time to unleash his shot and, you know, find the right place in the offensive zone and stuff. He's only 21 still, so.
Yeah. And we are running out of time here. We want to keep this on a reasonable time frame for our absent-minded extra episodes. But the last thing that I want to touch on here, and it'll just be a little prediction point for both of us. Who are you picking right now? Gun to your head. Who's going to be the number one scorer for the Laval Rocket in the playoffs?
Oh, that's difficult. Yeah. Do you mean score as in goal scorer or in points overall?
We're going to go points overall. We can do goals separately afterwards.
Yeah, after this season, it's difficult not to say Rafael Harvey-Pinard. He had 5 assists in his first game back in the AHL. He just looks like that dude now. When he comes back, everything goes very smoothly for him. He just has that, you know, that oomph about him. He's an NHL player in an AHL player's body right now. So, yeah, Rafael.
I don't want to disagree with you at all. Honestly, that would have been my pick, but I got to be contrarian in some aspect. I got to pick somebody else. I'm going to go with Anthony Hischalk.
Yeah.
I think speed kills. We've seen that in the playoffs before, right? As a Montreal Canadiens fan, everybody remembers how good Paul Byron was in that run for the Habs. I mean, he wasn't their top scorer, but he was pretty damn good. And I think that speed is going to do him wonders. And yeah, if it's not Rafael Harvey-Pinard, I think it would probably be Anthony Richard. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Goals.
But now,
30
let's
goals.
Do goals, right? Who's going to be the top goal scorer?
Anthony Richard. I was going to say Anthony Richard. Like, he scored 30 goals. He provided 37 assists as well, 67 points in 60 games. But 30 goals in 60 games for a guy who previously had one 20-goal season in the AHL back in 2018-19 with Milwaukee. He just lit it up this season. Extra fun that he was playing for Syracuse Crunch during the stretch of last year as well. So clinching the playoff spot against your former team. And he was super pumped when he came out on the ice and was announced as the third star local guy and everything. No, I think that when it comes down to it, I think he's going to score the most goals. And Alvi Pinal provides the passes.
Okay. I'm going to go with your countryman. I'm going to go with Emil Heinemann.
Matthias Norlander.
I'm going with Emil Heinemann. I think he's getting it done. I think that shot is too much of a weapon. I think what we've seen so far since he came in, it's going to work for him. I think they're going to find the right opportunities for him. I think he's going to end up being their top scorer. I think Richard's going to be close. So I don't think he got a bad pick there at all. Like I said, he was my guy for points. So I think he's going to be up there. But I think goals-wise, I think the guy they're going to be looking to, the guy who's going to be there, the Cole Caulfield of the Laval Rocket, if you will, it's going to be Emil Heinemann. And, you know, he's going to get those shots off. And if he gets him in the right spot, man, he's got one heck of a wrister. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So I hope everybody who's listening tunes into those games. Look, we might not have Montreal Canadiens hockey anymore, at least until October. But we can enjoy as much the Laval Rocket as we can. I would encourage everybody as well to take a look at the CHL playoffs. It is immeasurably relieving to sit down and watch some prospects play well when you know that your team is not going to be in the NHL playoffs. It's almost second to none. And it is only second to watching the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs, of course, which we're not going to be able to do this year. So, you know, try to enjoy it. Right. Like I've said many times in the bottom 6 minutes, we're refocusing at this point, looking at the draft, looking at the prospects, trying to have some fun with what's left of this season of hockey in general, not just the NHL season. You've been listening to Absent Minded. Thank you very much for joining us. We will continue with much more content about the CHL playoffs, the AHL playoffs, the draft lottery, and of course, the NHL draft coming up in June. Thank you, as always, for listening. And as I always say, à la prochaine.